Welcome, everybody. We're here back again for the Joe's Bot Podcast, episode 10. Episode 10 is going to be a special one with Jesus Vivian in the house. Jesus, what's going on, boss?
Not much, brother.
Excited to have you on the show. Thank you for coming on the show. Let's go, man. Here we go. The Joe's Bot Podcast, man. Episode 10. We have Jesus.
Número 10.
Vivian.
I wonder if this is a coincidence, brother. I love number 10, man.
Really?
Number 10. Yeah, it's a magic number, brother.
That's your number.
Binary code, 1 and 0, dude. Binary code, dude. So, I don't know. It's magic, dude.
It really is. It really is. And we're back once again. So Jesus Vivian, owner, founder, creator of Alubel Music Studio.
Yeah.
Alubel Music Studio, found in McAllen, Texas. Yeah. What are you working on right now, Jesus?
Holy schnauzers, man. We have a lot of projects going on. Thank God. Most of them like local musicians. We just finish expanding the studio. It's now a studio / apartments. We opened the apartments next door to pretty much invite not just local musicians, but like musicians from everywhere in the United States, Mexico. They can come and stay, have a good time here in the Valley, make music, enjoy the weather. Big people from big cities like Austin and stuff like that, Mexico, DF, they come and tell me all the time, you know what? What we like about the Valley is number one, the vibe, number two, the people. You can be even Justin Bieber and walk on 17th Street eating an elote and raspa, and nobody's gonna find out that you're Justin Bieber. And yeah, that's crazy, man. And number three, man, you don't have to drive like 30, 40 minutes to go get carne asada down HEB or whatever. You know, they love that, the fact that they don't have to worry about anything. They can just pretty much get on the car, go for a drive, come back, and everything is on time, pretty much, man.
You mentioned, but Justin Bieber. Oye, ¿qué onda con Justin Bieber? What happened with him?
I tell. Remember, it was like I think we were teaching. I was at Rafael Cantu, and you were the name of that school in Mission? I forgot the name of that school where you were teaching, and Selena Gomez was performing at the event.
I remember that.
So they spotted Justin Bieber downtown having a elote and a raspa, and nobody even knew that it was him, you know. Nobody even bothered him or anything like that.
Wow. Yeah. That's right. It made TMZ, right? Something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. It was crazy, man.
Oh man. So man, just like Justin Bieber, I'm sure you've worked with a lot of artists, man.
I'm blessed to say yes.
Hijo, tell us about that, man. What got you started in the whole music business, man?
Well, let me tell you, since I was a little kid, I was always passionate for pretty much the sounds and trying to learn pretty much how the music worked and everything. But I was the type of kid that I would like play an instrument and then, okay, you know what? I don't like it. Let me try the next one. Let me get the guitar. Let me get the piano. Let me get the drums. Let me get the percussion. Let me get to sing. So I was pretty much trying everything, and I never pretty much got to master anything, man, to be honest with you. People come here all the time and they're like, dude, which one is your main instrument? And I just show them, you know, my mixing board. And that's basically my gift. So anyways, I started at the young age of probably like 10 or 11, playing at the local fairs. I used to play the organ. It was a Yamaha organ. And I would like play for the people, and like they would come and like, you know, the usual songs and Ojos Españoles, Juan Gabriel, all that stuff that was very popular back then, Rocío Dúrcal and all that stuff.
Right.
But to be honest with you, I never got to pretty much master any of the instruments. And now I thank God, dude, that I didn't pretty much get to master any of them, because I know a little bit of everything, of the essence, more than the essence, the color, and the way they should go together. You know, I don't know, man. I was always listening when I was a kid. I was always listening to Kiss, I remember. And then I got into some other, I remember Red Hot Chili Peppers was pretty cool. And cumbias left and right, you know, like I was raised in a small town in Mexico, Ciudad Valles, San Luis Potosí, and like cumbias was pretty much the thing, dude. And if you listen to Fito Olivares and all that stuff, I mean, nothing sounds better than those albums. So it was very challenging to get the sound. And eventually it got to when I was in junior high and like, you know, the rondallas and all that stuff. And they teach you a little bit of the basics of the guitar and how the music glues together and everything.
Right.
And I tried it, man, in junior high, and I tried the guitar, and I believe I tried the organ again, and then the piano, and like it just wasn't for me. I didn't have the discipline, you know.
So nomás escuchabas esto y comenzabas a sonar el ritmo, ¿no?
O sea que ponle play, papá. There we go.
Hoy nomás.
That's funny, man.
Oye, sí, nomás escuchabas eso y comenzabas a bailar o comenzabas a tumbear o...
Okay, I'm not a good dancer, I have to say, but I can make people dance with my music, that's for sure, man. I'm not a dancer. Like, my wife is trying to teach me, she's an amazing dancer, and I'm like, right. Okay, like, you know, but I try my best. So anyways, there was a band that was always rehearsing, Grupo Enamorado, dude, that was the name. And they would play Romanticas, Temerarios, and all that stuff. And they would give me the opportunity to pretty much go and mix the music for them.
Right, right.
Rehearsals. So that's when I got pretty much into the tweaking, compressing, equalizing, and all that stuff. And into now, like, getting to co-produce with some artists, like local ones, and like some... other international artists as well, you know, when they come here, like they know they're gonna make really good music at an affordable price. And the beautiful thing of it, like, is that they let me interact with them, you know, they let me be part of the project, even though like I said, I'm not the best musician that you could expect. I mean, I can play pretty much if I have to, but it's not my strong area. But like, they come here and they know, like, sometimes a little bit we tweak the lyrics, you know what, this word might sound better and stuff like that. And I mean, it is vibey, what I call pretty much a vibey studio.
Hey, Chewy, but how do you go from cumbia to something like this? I mean, do you get into... do you start producing the sound here, or do you start thinking what lyric should go with this? I mean, I'm sure there's a whole lot of things.
You just gave me some goosebumps, man. Like, honestly, like, it's you have to be somehow disconnected from this dimension, to be honest, right, with you, when you're making music. It's just, it happens. Sometimes we throw some lyrics and it just happened to be the right word.
Right.
We keep trying, you know, like, basically what I tell everyone, you don't have to be an expert in music, but you have to know what you want, what you want to do. We have great artists that apparently that they didn't know how to pretty much play an instrument. We have B.B. King, that he didn't know how to play chords, but he could play single strings like nothing, and he was the king of blues, you know?
Right.
And some other people that sometimes they come into the studio and they hum the song. And then, okay, well, I start getting the idea, and then I just make a few calls and get the right people. I don't know, I could call, let's say, Chris or my friend Mike or Alvar or Juan Amaro, and like, hey, let's write a song and let's get it down. And I get the what is it called, the drum machine, and we come out with a beat, and then by the time you know it, 3-4 hours pass by, and we have glued together a song, you know?
Correct.
It's just magic, man. I have to say it, I don't do it by myself. That would be almost impossible to say I take the credit. I co-produce with most of the customers that come here, you know, but I give them pretty much the freedom to say, you know what, give me what you want. And the main idea, if it belongs to you, then you're the producer, even though like you might not know how to make a record, you say, you know what, I'm co-producing with you.
Somebody told me that if I'm in the room, I can be the co-author or the co-producer just for being in the room.
Well, in essence, if the vibe is there, you know, if you're...
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say this thing, man. We invited this guy. I won't say names or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
To record a record album, dude. And his job was pretty much to be in the room.
Right.
Yeah. And it was magic, man. Like, the guy was there, you know, chilling and everything. And then every here and there, like, very quiet, man. Every here and there, he would say, oh, that sounds like Led Zeppelin. And then we would be like, oh, tell us about Led Zeppelin. And he would say stories about it. And he would glue pretty much the ideas in the
concert. Yeah, yeah.
After 6 or 7 hours recording, I've been recording, like, it gets pretty tedious, you know?
Right.
It gets pretty tedious. And you got to stretch your arms and your legs and everything, but also expand your mind and your ears, man. Like, you have to... I always tell my customers, I need to brush my ears. Like, let me play something that I like, let's say Thriller, or like, I mean, Michael Jackson is pretty much.
Right.
Just to brush my ears and then go for a little walk, get a little bit of oxygen. We have the golf course, the McAllen Country Club across the street. So it's pretty nice, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, going back to the original question, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it sounds like everything that is orchestrated in your mind, it takes a process for you to lay it down. It's like different layers. If for those of you that work on computers, such as Photoshop or such as audio, you know, there's different track one, track two, track three, track four. And it sounds like a lot of that is happening in your mind and you're just trying to figure out, okay, what goes where? Let me play it again. And now I need an opinion so that I can figure it out to see if it works, if it glues together.
Okay, I'm going to like open my ears. Go ahead.
So, I mean, that's pretty much what I'm listening and understanding and all of that. But mm-hmm. So tell me about, is there any memorable artists or funny moments or funny anecdotes that you can tell me about that has occurred there at Alubel Studios? I'm sure there's a lot of them.
Okay. This is a really cool story that pretty much opened the doors, right?
Okay.
To big artists, man, pretty much.
Yeah.
We were making a song here for Buck and Crazy. Jason, Roy, all those big animals that are, you know, listening, watching. Say hi to you guys. And at the moment, Daniel was recording the drums. So anyways, amazing drummer, one take, boom. He goes back to work at the biggest store that we have down here, the music store, mm-hmm. pretty much in the US. And then I get a call like a few weeks later from this guy named Irvin. So I was like, cool, man. Like, he's like, dude, yeah, I'm like very humble guy. Like nothing, you know, you wouldn't like, very regular guy.
Right, right.
He's like, hey, you mind if I go check out your studio and see what do you have and how do you work? And I'm a local artist, like original from the Valley, and I'm down here and I would like to work on some projects. So I was like, cool. Little that I knew, that guy Irvin was a Pee Wee from, you know, Pee Wee.
Pee Wee from the Cumbia Kings.
Yes, sir.
He's okay.
Amazing projects, man.
Uh-huh.
Amazing artist. So I was like, I remember you. But the guy looked familiar, to be honest with you. Like,
right.
Very humble, very normal. And I was like, you look familiar. So I was like, is this the right guy? And then I asked him, dude, are you by any chance Pee Wee? And he just laughed out loud. Like, yes, dude. Like, do you happen to know me and everything? I'm like, yes, from the other side of the stage.
But yeah, yeah.
My pleasure, by the way. Like, my pleasure, I mean. But I have to tell you one thing that happened at the moment. When he walked into the studio, and he later invited his producer, Babo, and his manager and everything, like, he was like, this is the place. I didn't even know you existed down here, man. And I was very, you know, very excited to have him over. And he told me, you know what, we'll be recording there in a few weeks. Very professional, please. Everything is very professional. Just keep everything to yourself. No pictures, no nothing. Whatever happens in the computer, we take it with us and everything.
Right.
Anyways, and then I see this guy walking in, and I'm like, you also look familiar from the Cumbia Kings. And it was Babo, dude, one of the guys that made a music over there with that project, you know, back then.
Right.
But it's funny because I used to know them from this side of the stage, you know, always at Cumbia Kings.
As a fan.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
I never imagined that music was gonna be part of my living, you know.
Right, right. So you were jamming out to this stuff back in the day, huh?
A ver. Chocolate.
So then all of a sudden you get the phone call and you're like, wait a minute.
Nah, but I was a regular guy, very normal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I checked, man, that song that you just released, Callejera.
Okay.
They worked on that project since day one, and they were like, you know what, we like the studio, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, like, you get a lot of musicians, you interact with a lot of people, but, like, everybody off the stage is just regular people.
Correct.
Regular people. You know, on the stage, I mean, there's an image, and they have to project it. Anyways, Babo, I was like, man, like, dude, this is magic, man. Like, it pretty much is like, I wasn't expecting that to happen. So when I see Babo start working on the computer, that's when I was like, holy moly, this is music at a different level, man.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me, you know what, I'm gonna need an extra table right here and all these cables. I was like, we can provide you with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God, I'm lucky to say, you know, we can pretty much provide people with whatever they need. And if I don't have it, I'll find it.
Right.
So I was like, okay, these connectors, blah, blah, blah. And then he pulls out a Mac, a laptop, and then another controller full of lights, and then another little red box with effects. And then, boom, he started plugging in everything.
Right.
And then he just hit the button, the space bar, and all the lights came out, and the computer in his MacBook started, like, moving, faders everywhere and everything. And I hear, like, music at a different dimension, at a different level. And I was like, I honestly wasn't even aware how complex was this new music, to mm-hmm. be honest with you. To me,
right.
Jazz and counting music and, you know, getting into this crazy chord, 7/9, blah, 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 you name it. But when I saw them working together, I was like, man, I wasn't aware, I have to tell you, that new music, I'm stuck in the 70s, 80s, 90s. The new music was so complicated. Everything was happening. I can pretty much tell you all the names and everything now, but like it was thanks to those projects. So I pretty much asked them, you know, I know you guys are on a local rate. Would you mind if I hang out? And they were like, yeah, by any means, just no pictures, no recordings, be very discreet, you know?
Right.
So I was like, cool, man. Very nice, very kind people.
Right.
I mean, and then from there, it happened that Babo starting pretty much using the studio as his main studio when he's down here, you know,
talking
about Corpus Christi South. So he started bringing all these crazy projects, man. But by crazy, I mean like crazy, crazy good. Like,
o sea, ni te lo imaginabas. You would have never thought in your wildest dream.
Never, never. You know, I'm all into rock and roll. And we go into that, like about my customers, like how loyal they are and how like good they are to me. And like They're always, you know, on time with the payments, and that helps a lot, because whatever happens, whatever gets invested in the studio, like I tell them, I have some of the coolest gear down here thanks to you guys.
Right.
You know, I'll find my ways to feed myself and my family, but whatever comes here stays here pretty much. And so later on, I met this guy again, really humble, really cool. It was one of the Bob's customers, man. Mm-hmm. His name is AJ Castillo.
Oh, yeah. He just released an accordion Christmas, right?
Chihueso, man. That
is. So, hold on. So the listeners can understand who AJ Castillo is.
Whatever song, man.
He is an amazing accordion player. So,
and songwriter and producer, but most important, they have one thing in common.
What's that?
Pee-wee, Bobble, AJ, humble, regular people, man. That I know they have access to all this media and everything,
mm-hmm.
but here in the studio, it's like they're so humble, so good to pretty much the community and to me, and that's what makes them who they are.
Right.
It's
right.
Click, press play on that latest release from AJ, dude. Like, so you can see.
Bésame, pronto va a amanecer. Abrázame, no hay más tiempo que perder. Excítame con tus besos de miel. Sedúceme. Mírame, quiero ver en tu mirada la pasión.
What I hear right there at the end?
Crazy.
I hear supermercados at the end. Damn. Supermercado. Man.
Like if you, I don't know, regular, I mean, I don't know, like, let's say normal listening people.
Right.
But if you pay attention to the little details where his vocals are placed, where the accordion is at, where these special effects are spaced out, and it's just magic, man. And when they pretty much gave me the opportunity, and again, I asked him, would you mind if I hang out here? And they were like, no, dude, like, chewy, like, by any means, like, feel free, man, you know?
Right.
Seeing all the process of
a creation.
Mainstream music, man. Amazing. Amazing.
But you know, I saw your face right now when this played. And I mean, Jesus, I've known you for a long time. And yes, sir. And one thing I can say about you is that you're passionate, man. And I can definitely see that passion, you know, when you create. It's like a baby. It's your baby, because you're creating it and you're fine-tuning it and you're making it sound, and then when you hear the final product, you're like, there you go.
Now when they send me the pre-master, because one thing that we share, like, in common, like, it becomes like a community. We become friends, we get glued together. They know I have a good taste, I know they have a good taste, so we tend to share the projects very discreetly. Press play. You know what? Let me get a morning play. You know what? I'm really tired, really stressed out. Let me go home and do a stressed out play. And you know what? I have some people down here. Like, let's say I'm cooking out or family together. Let me press play and see their reaction.
Right.
And that's what we do before we release anything to the marketer.
You have to.
You have to, man. But like, I don't tell him, you know what? Hey, by the way, we're working on this song. Can you guys listen to it? No. I just put it on the playlist, you know, and put it in the background of the music and see. And I'm always watching to see their reaction, you know.
Right.
If they get motivated, because eventually music is about that, you know, changing.
Right.
Changing pretty much lives, you know, like changing emotions, going into a different dimension.
Man, so, Chewy.
Returning to them.
So awesome.
AJ, really cool guy. And I was like, I was just so in love with these guys, with the projects and everything. And I just, like, you know, when you go visit the primos out there, like, you don't want that weekend to finish, man.
Right, right.
So it was the same experience with all these big artists, you know, like, you don't want that to finish. So when we didn't even know who each other were, you know, like, they didn't even know I was Chewy from the Valley. I didn't know who AJ was. Of course, I knew his music, but, like, not personally, you know?
Right.
And the same with Babo, like, as person to person, you know? So that's when I, like, decided, you know what, I think it's time to take the studio to the next level, because if these people are liking it, like, because all I see here is work.
Mm-hmm.
This house was built in 1960s. It's a residential studio, by the way. And all I see is work. If I see the wall, like, covering wood, well, I was there working with Chuy, mi compadrito, you know, setting the wood and painting them and make sure it sounds good and everything. So all I see is work.
Right.
I don't see anything but work, you know, like, because I've been involved in every detail in this project. But when people, let's say, outsiders, let's call them like that, right?
Yeah.
Come into the studio, and I'm like, well, if they like it, maybe there's something about it, right? I had worked in some big, huge studios over there in Monterrey City, and to be honest with you, like, I didn't want to project that to my customers. I wanted to pretty much for them to feel like
they're
at home.
Yeah.
You go to those big studios and you look at the board, like that's $300,000-$500,000 board. And then you see they're using like this Mogami, like $300 cables. And then they put a Sony microphone in front of you, which is Emilio Navaira and all these big people recording. It's intimidating.
It is.
So here,
yeah.
Like, you know, just chill, stretch. Let's make music. Let's have a good time.
Man, that's beautiful, Jesus.
Yeah.
And all I hear is passion. All I hear is good vibes. And that's exactly what you're telling me right now that happens in that studio. Oye. So AJ Castillo is just one of them. But I've heard, you know, there's been Bucking Crazy recently.
Oh, man.
Those guys are
crazy. They're called crazy for a reason, man. I love them. Oh, man. Those guys.
Un saludo a Jason, man. Jason and the whole Bucking Crazy group. But Sons of Texas también. Is that correct? Have you produced Sons of Texas? Or is
no,
that...
I have not.
But you have not?
I'm waiting for them to knock on the door, dude.
Okay.
They're working over there in I believe in outside San Antonio or something. I heard something, you know, Mark, uh-huh. the singer and like, but like, I mean, great projects.
Okay.
Most of those projects, the reason why they haven't come in here is because they pretty much don't know, like, we're here.
Oh, okay. Got you.
This is a boutique studio and we don't do publicity or anything like that. It's just like
right now,
I might get a new customer tomorrow. You never know.
But okay. So Sons of Texas, big shout out to them. Un saludos grande. I was reviewing some data, but I was wrong on that end. But Mars Overdrive.
Oh man, Mars, Marcelino, Hugo, Nano. We're pending on a new album that we're working on, and like it's those guys, the three of them together. They have so much material. They like. I was going through the book, and I think they have ready to go. Close to 11 songs, but like on the out of 100 and something, dude. Those guys are crazy.
They have a lot of stuff. Good. Let's play some Mars Overdrive just to hear, dude, so we can listen.
I can say like I'm pretty much involved in that album 100%.
Got you.
A million percent.
Let's try it out. Here we go. Mars Overdrive, In the Light of Day. We'll be right back. I like that studio filter right there that you gave it.
Yeah, well, everything, I'm old school. I know the basics of editing on the computer and like using plugins and everything.
Right.
But usually what I do is like, however it comes in the line and it gets dropped into Pro Tools, that's how it's gonna be used in the album. Like I do my tweaking and my homework and everything before I even put it. Like I don't add plugins and the technology and like on top of things. I hardly use any plugins. I like everything raw and analog. Like if I can give you like a quick tour right here.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much all the toys we have, like the real amps, DW. I have the other room is like loaded with guitars and stuff like that. Right now I'm hardwired, so we cannot move that much.
Right, right.
And, I mean, we do everything. I mean, I have some other toys, some synthesizers over there.
Oh man, right there.
So, and you know, I take my time making music. You know, like these Mars Overdrive, you can hear the nature of the hits. Nano, amazing. Orlando Guerra, amazing, amazing, amazing drummer. Hugo, amazing human beings, the three of them. But here and there, you can hear like the little Beatles swing. Let's not call it mistakes. The swing, and it what makes an album. Because I don't, if the take is not good, if the cut is not good, I just let's do it again until it's good. You know.
Right. Right.
I'm not really good at doing that stuff, what they call the what is the quantizing and stuff like that. I'm not that great, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But I know whoever's gonna come and work here, they're good at doing that stuff.
No, but and as a, I guess as a music listener, I hear the rawness of in that cut, and that's what I was actually very holding to high standard, to high value in my personal opinion, because I was listening to it and I was like, wow, like that sounds really good. And then I'm thinking to myself, if I put that on the vinyl, just so that I can hear the vinyl, you know, high fidelity. Yeah. That would make it even better for me.
That's a good choice, man. That's a good idea. Mars Overdrive was, a very big influence. Of course, I had my project before when I started this project, Scott Cullum, Charles Gonzalez, and it was me, and it was a project was called Chueco.
Okay.
Let's not get into details. With that name, because I was a teacher at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was called Chueco. It was a really cool project. And it was, you know, Chuck from San Francisco. He brought some fresh ideas to the Valley, the whole psychedelic music and the whole synthesizers and going analog. And pretty much between him and Scott, like my vision of making music went back to the beginnings, because I was getting really into the digital, like, oh, this plugin just came out. Let's use it. And let's, you know, and basically, I went back to my roots, because I was a little kid, like, well, I'm not that fresh and young, but like I was 13 when I started like pretty much recording at a boombox at home at the attic at my parents' house over there in Valle San Luis Potosí. And when I met Charles, Chuck, and Scott, we started this project, Chueco, and it opened pretty much a new channel in my head, because it was just going back to where you put your microphone, equalizing before he goes into the take and stuff like that. And that's when Mars Overdrive contacted me, and they were like, dude, we like what we hear, can we go and check out the studio? And we did album one, and then after that a rain of projects came and knocked on the door. Like, I mean, a lot of the projects that I didn't even know, because I'm not much of a going out person. I didn't even know we had that much music going on here in that era, like area, rock and roll, country. I mean, we had the pleasure to work with Max Costello, Bucket Crazy, Monstro Bohemio. I mean, Dr. Moon Rabbit. I mean, like Wave Files, Warp Drive. I mean, I don't like, I want to think of all of them all the way to pretty much recording the projects at the University of Texas, man. Like, I mean, here, the local university, UTRGV, I did a whole session of projects that I'll probably send you the link later, because those guys are amazing and they trusted me.
Right.
They trusted me, their projects. You know how difficult it is? Like, they could have gotten anyone in the United States,
right,
anyone to come and record and mix and master for them. And somehow I got chosen through another link, through another band, Never High, another band that we work a lot with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy with them. Daniel, the singer, he's the one that pretty much told me, you know what? They're looking for a sound engineer to record the concerts, to pretty much, and like I said, I mean, it's University of Texas, they have the budget. They could have gotten anyone in the world to come and record.
Right, right. They
said, you know what? You, I mean, why not? Let's give you a chance. And it was an amazing opportunity. Is it me or you?
That was me. I apologize.
No, that's cool. I was like, dude, I didn't make that song. I wouldn't be selling that song. I would be listening to iPhone. Every play you give me,
right,
0.00001 cents of that song. So anyways, you got music is getting little by little, I wouldn't say complicated, but the more people that I get into the studio, the more I find out that the world needs more good music.
Right.
Then more positive music, more like local, I guess, independent musicians to pretty much project their ideas.
Well, you know, and the interesting part of that statement of what you just said is that there's a need for creation. And creation is a beautiful idea because it creates passion, understanding. It helps individuals find unconditional love. And
exactly.
through love, man, the world would be so much better. But unfortunately, you have issues happening that cause divisiveness and so forth. And, you know, let's not get into that. However, you know what, we definitely do need to look at what makes people happy, and music brings people together.
They're like the way I tell pretty much all my customers, and it's the truth about music, and it's very cold and raw and like,
right.
I tell pretty much all my customers all the time, let's leave pride outside the door.
Right.
Rule number one. Rule number two. And I always tell them, we're all gonna die eventually. But whatever you do right now, right here, at this moment, is gonna get printed. And it's gonna go mainstream. And it's gonna stay on the planet forever. So mm-hmm. make sure it's good. Make sure it's good, and make sure you do your best without feeling pressure, and make sure you enjoy every day like if it's the last one, you know.
Right.
It's one day you're okay, next day you get COVID, the day after you're ashes, you know.
It's right.
So many craziness that, you know, we're going through. But I always tell him, number one, pride stays outside the studio. Yes, you're paying me, but I can always give you your money back and see you later, brother, you know?
Right.
And number two, do everything with your heart. Con pasión, con la música que llevas adentro. And it's going to stay here forever, man.
I'm going to, you know, you touched on a very sensitive subject, and I would agree with you 100% with you that you and I, we're all dying. We're all going to get to that point in life.
Exactly.
So, you know, do the best you can with what you got. and make it count. And oye, Chuy, I wanna plant a seed in your mind. Because if there's one person that can make this happen, it's you, buddy.
Thank you.
Imagine a group of individuals, all with a percussion instrument, at sunset, just jamming on a beach.
That's
meditation. Or in front of a building at a park.
Yeah. That would change. That would change more than a thousand Bibles, more than 1,000 words, more than 1,000 negativity, or more than you name it, more than anything. It would change because it would connect people to the roots, to where we belong, the drums, the frequency, the batucada, the Afro-Cuban music, the American folk music, where they just get a bucket, all the influences. They would find out through music how simple and how easy life is, or should be, perhaps should be that easy. You connect with others, and it's just percussions. They're so simple that even a baby, even my little baby Joaquin, 5 years old, he gets on the drums and I get on the beat, you know, it gets projected, because it's a transformation, the way I see it, of the energy, the human energy transmitting to the world, you know, and you get connected. That's definitely a good exercise to practice.
Have you ever been a part of something like that, where there's like hundreds of people?
I haven't been in with hundreds of people, but I've been on the stage many times, some with a lot of rehearsing, sometimes with just, you know, go and quick play. And you connect with your other musicians, you glue together with them. Mm-hmm. The human reaction, the interaction between one note and the other one, the elasticity that happens there, it's just, you become one.
Right.
With your group, with your band, you become one with your project. And it's like you're saying, that's an exercise that we should practice more often, you know, not even on the table, not just with the family, you know, like it's just the same way we crack open like a 12-pack and yeah, let's put the meat on the grill. You know what? Just get a drumstick, get a drum, let's play the bucket. You don't have anything, you clap, you scream, you shout. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good, amazing point, brother.
I'd love to see it happen, man. And like I said, if there's anybody that can make that happen, I think it'll be you. I would love to see here in the Rio Grande Valley a come together moment where hundreds of people just show up. Like, let's just say, sabes que, let's meet here at 7:00.
Right.
Alubel, Joe's About Podcast will be there, and we're all gonna have a good time.
That's, you know, let me tell you one thing, one funny story, that now that you want to get into the mystical part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Jefe Eric from he's a shaman. He's a spiritual man. Mm-hmm. From close to Mexico. I'm going to remember the name. Eduardo Rux, he invited him over. He wanted for him to record some music, some pre-Hispanic music, let's call it.
Okay.
Ameca, that's where he's from. Jefe Eric Santos. So we set it up. I, of course, you know, like I tend to pretty much, if they're paying me for something that I love to do, the least I can do is to pretty much just top of the line gear and equipment, the best I can afford. So I put a microphone, a room microphone, and it was a studio standard AKG 414 XL2. And then I put another microphone to record the guitar, the concha, and he was gonna sing in that direction. He told me, like, you know what, I need this space for singing, and I'm gonna play the concha facing that direction. So, okay, cool. Press record, and nothing is happening. I was like, dude, I mean, I plugged everything right, and like, you know, we're ready to go. Press record. The computer was recording. You could see the red lines.
Right.
But nothing was going into it. And I was like, wait a minute, let me rewire everything.
Right.
So I rewired the studio, and now two channels were working. So I was like, you know what? Let me change the last microphone. It was three microphones. Well, make a long story short, the energy that Jefe Eric had the day of the session when he recorded burned the three cables, dude.
Wow.
Believe it or not, los quemó, not like on fire, but they wouldn't send the energy.
Right, right.
So rewire everything. I got thicker wires, like, you know, real grandotes.
Yeah, how many gauges is that?
I believe these are like, I think they say like 16 gauge. They're really thick, man. They're like,
yeah.
The thickness of my finger. That's what I'm using now.
It reminds me of the wires I used to see back at Greg's ballroom back in the day.
Oh, dude, that was good times. So, hey, and then he told me, like, Jefe Eric told me, like, hey, like, I feel something weird in the studio. This is an old house, you know, like very, very old house. And he started, like, doing his things and dancing and everything. And then after he was with the Copal everywhere in the studio. After a few passes with that smoke and everything, I just felt like a quick release in the studio. That
right.
You still feel that peace in this place. You still feel that peace. But it was really weird that right now that you're getting into details, I have forgotten about it. I should call Jefe Eric to see how he's doing, man. And that was one of the projects. See, like, we've done it all, man. Like, we've done... As long as it's music, we've done it all, you know.
But
that's one of the projects that you told me right now, that it was really crazy, man. Is there a way for you to search a project?
It's here.
By Juan Amaro, the Red Light Lounge. So see, we're going from pre-Hispanic music to rock and roll, to orchestra, wind ensembles, Tejano, pop. I mean. One time I got a report from a...
Here we go. Moon Mud?
Oh, man. That's a good one, dude. I've seen it all.
Yeah. I was not expecting that.
I am blessed to say I've seen it all, man. Juan Amaro, I responded to him through a Facebook call, and he like, hey, I have this project. I'm ready to work on it. I'll see you tomorrow. So I was like, okay, cool, man. Like, it's probably like, you know, it's going to take some time. Since day one, he had a list of things to do. Drums, bass, accordion. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm thinking. I'm estudiando Austin allá con el compadrito AJ. Saxophone. So I was like, okay, let's get organized with this project. It's gonna take a while. And it was, if you check it out, it's a mix of fusion, jazz, rock and roll, heavy metal in some sections. It's based on some books that the Red Light Lounge wrote. That's how crazy these guys are, man.
Some books that they wrote.
They wrote, and the album is, I believe, is based on book one out of, I don't want to say much. Yeah.
Wait, is this unreleased or what?
Yeah, it is released already. You can, the books?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten into details with them, but like, I know the music is out there and you should press play because it's so good, man. These are people, they're like all masters. They have played all over the world. And like, when they came here, I was like, this is good stuff, you know?
Right.
This is good stuff. Another, Tato. Ugh. We did some songs here for his last release, Cosmico. And I'm really proud to say this was through text messages and through pictures. But when I received the news through him, I'm like, wait a minute, man. So there's an opportunity that we might hang a Grammy on my board. He's like, yeah, dude, when you have a talent, that's exactly. So anyways, we got to the final stages of the Grammy nominations, and I mean, he was competing with Big Fish. Like, I was recorded and mixed two of the songs, I believe, two or three. I don't really recall right now. And as an independent musician, solito on his own.
Right.
Making it all the way
to the big stage.
With big, huge fish. And he did it, and he got nominated really high on the final list. You know, like, I'm talking about the top 30s, man, in the Latino. And I'm talking Latino. By Latino, I mean Hispanic music all over the place. So this was a huge project that I'm really proud to say that I took part of it. Tato, he brought into the studio also his essence, his professionalism, his piano skills. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. Okay, yeah.
Sorry. His piano skills, like, you know, pretty much everything that that was supposed to be. My screen is there. He's there. Everything that what takes to make it to the big game, you know, like, it was introduced to me through all these artists and musicians that, like I said, they just trusted me, like, the way, I guess, the way things are, you know, like, the it's vibey, it's cool, you know. I've been around and I've been making music. But
Chewy, let me ask you this, and you've had, like, my understanding is you had, like, when you first began, you didn't have that house, right? But you were producing somewhere else, right?
In my house, yeah.
And now you have your studio, which is a former house. But let me ask you, have you ever thought about just taking a mixer, taking some recording equipment in a van, and just going out there and recording somewhere different? Have you done that?
Yes, sir. And it's one of the projects that it's in the books. I need to, I know I cannot release too many of the details, but it's happening soon, man.
And you really?
I have done some of live concerts with my portable system that I used to take my microphones, put my headphones on, and like pretty much sit on my booth, ready, go. And I have recorded like some live concerts. And this project, it's not gonna be released anytime soon because it's gonna take some time to work on it.
Right.
It involves some traveling and stuff like that. So
right.
Eventually, I'm not gonna die without releasing this project. That's one of the things that I can assure you, man, for sure. But wow. It's not gonna happen tomorrow, 2021, 2025. I don't know any of the details, but it's already registered and it's gonna be a hit, that's for sure.
Man, I can't. I hope I'm one of the first people to hear this. I mean,
yes.
You know, man, Jesus Vivian, dude. Okay, so we've gone through some of the projects that you've been working on, some of the memorable artists that you've spoken with, some of your influences, you know, from the age of 12, 13 years old. We've talked about what you're currently working on. And, you know, like, Jesus, man, you're nothing but a good vibe every time I'm around you, man. I appreciate everything that you do. I appreciate you as an individual, as a friend. As of now.
As of now.
Yeah, big shout out, man.
Hueso, man. Good times.
Good times for sure. Let's talk about real quick is the future projects. Anything else that we should know about future projects? What else is coming up for Alubel Studios?
Coming out, we're working on album 3 with Mars Overdrive.
Okay.
We're doing a live on Friday. It's a surprise live. You guys are gonna have a good time with a rock and roll band. Those guys started here as a teenagers. Now that they're adults, they just keep playing better and better and better and better. So I'm gonna have those guys here. As a matter of fact, I believe they're from McAllen, Mackay, actually. And future projects. I mean, keep swinging, man. I never, like I said, like my wife tells me all the time, like, dude. You said we're going to go have a barbecue, whatever, and now we're sitting here having sushi. I mean, that's what I love about you. You're spontaneous. So I don't really plan my life that much, and it's just a ride, you know? But yeah, future projects that I can tell you, I mean, there's so many, brother, including this one right here. It was a big opportunity for me to pretty much be part of it, man.
I if you invite me over to your studio, I'd love to do a podcast in the studio. I would definitely love to do that.
Awesome, man.
It might be time for Josabot podcast to go ahead and team up again with Alubel Studios.
We put a mirror in you and you do a podcast about yourself. Your life is such a beautiful and inspiration. Like I said, since the day I met you, we were having a training over there at the Mission District. I was like, there's something about this guy that I like, man. And he's a DJ and I have a production company and we start working together. Remember, brother? Like,
I remember that. Yeah.
Weddings and little festivals here and there. Like ever, like since the first time I met you, I was like, man, I like this guy. I sat at your table by mistake because nobody, like pretty much they had all groups together and I showed up late to that meeting, man. Muy loco, bendito Dios. But it was one of the greatest opportunities, man.
We developed a beautiful friendship, man.
Yes, it's a hermandad.
Yes,
yes.
No, and that's something that people need to understand. I, in my personal opinion, is like, get the time to understand, get the time to listen, get the time to, you know, communicate so that you can create relationships, man. I had a buddy of mine come by. He's like, hey, what do you think? You know, do you think I should go talk to these businesses? Do you know them? And he was like, well, no. I said, here's the thing, man. Like, it's going to take you a long time, man. You gotta plant the seed. You got to water it so that it can grow. So you got to trim it. You know, like, it doesn't happen overnight.
Hey, mira, it doesn't happen overnight, but again, it's how you react. It's how you pretty much put your guard up and react to the situations, because life, as beautiful as it is, life can be tough, but it's how you see things, you know, they throw a punch at you, you get out of it.
Right.
And there's like, you know, situations different. We all been around, man. I saw during your campaign that somebody was telling you stuff from the past. And I'm like, dude, you look how far you have become, man. I mean, come on. I was like, really, dude? Like, I was willing to say to this guy, hey, let's go to Tucanes down here. I'll buy you not a beer, a pitcher of beer, man. And Jay Palacios honor, man, because that's how much you have come to. You know, like, I mean, it was just, I mean, life, it's life, man. How you see it, how you react. God is not here to pretty much to prevent you.
Right.
From situations. God is here to pretty much help you go through the situations and see how you react. And yeah, you gotta be all the time on top of things and wake up, shake it, revive. And I mean, there's nothing, it's called life. That's what's called life for a reason, brother.
Yeah. And when you go for a swim, it's not time to stop swimming. You got to keep on swimming, you know, if not.
Exactly.
Si no te va a llevar la corriente. But yeah,
I've been here for the past 6-7 years and it almost feels like I just landed in this spaceship studio with AJ Castillo, named the Churio, and on the radio. So I've been on this spaceship for the past 7 years making music, and it almost feels like it was yesterday. I mean, no, I'm not lying, man. It's just good stuff, you know?
Right.
Good stuff. And I opened the doors to pretty much, I don't know if you have, see if you can find another project that is going to tell you like, man, really? You pretty much co-produced that project?
Let's hear it.
Los de la S. LOSDELAS. De Gerardo and Tony. The Tonys. See how like.
Los dos de la S?
No.
Los de la S, Cushion Canala.
No.
Los de la S, Rolando por la 252.
No, it's Gerardo. I don't have access to any other phone here.
Well, I do see an artist, Los de la S.
Yeah.
And it's two guys.
Yeah.
La Escuela de la Vida is the latest single.
Press play, I think. That could be, I tell you right now.
No. All right.
But it's a música regional mexicana. Man, when those guys walked into the studio, I was like, I got to record this. Like, even if I don't get paid, like, I need to document this stuff.
Right, right.
It was that great. It was so good. It was so good. Really, 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 really good, really good stuff, man.
I'll tell you what, man, and this was a conversation that I most recently had, and the conversation was along these lines, and I think we're talking about it. And it says, in this lifetime, if you don't document it, or if you don't release it, or if you don't share it, it goes with you to the grave. In other words, what you're doing is a beautiful thing. Because you're documenting, you're recording, you're sharing stuff, like you said it earlier in the podcast, it's going to live on and it's going to keep on going. And
exactly.
And bro, I've been having a lot of fun with this podcast, and I'm really blessed to have you on this episode 10. It's a beautiful thing just to reconnect with you, Jesus, in more ways than one. You and I will definitely meet up for another session, man.
For sure, brother. For sure, man.
Man, thank you so much for coming by again.
And if anybody has a question, wants to take a tour of the studio.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, people, this is Chuy Vivian, Jesus Vivian. Just hit me up. Find me on Facebook, Alubel. Just right there. Churio, como Chuy, Chudio, Alubel Churio Studio. Hit me up. I'll be more than happy to help you with your project. I mean, we have, you wouldn't even imagine like how many people are so talented and they keep their projects private, you know, and you bring it here, you take it home, release it to your family. And I mean, it's music. Don't leave it. And if, like I said to everyone, I don't mind. But if you want to make sure, it's like bringing a photographer to your wedding with an iPhone, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing. If you make sure your music gets documented the right way, The prices are super affordable. I'm here to help you guys. Like, honestly, you guys, you know me, Jay. I'm here to help pretty much, and my customers can tell you, know, I'm here to pretty much for the passion of the music, you know?
Yeah.
To make it happen. I want to share the link because these guys, like I said, Gerardito and Tony, too bad we cannot find them over there. Like the project, when they walked in, they had one guitar and then another 12 string guitar and then a tuba. I was like, crazy. Alejandro Becker también, a new release that is going everywhere, man. That record too, man. It's, I mean, so many, like I said, so many musicians, like,
yeah,
so many projects that I have the pleasure to work with.
Man, that's freaking awesome, man. Let me play something for you right here because I really want you to listen to this one if you haven't heard it already.
Check the sound. This is something. Do we still have time or have?
Oh, yeah, we're good.
Check the.
Is that you?
No. Check Never High.
Never High.
Some of the new stuff, it's just amazing. The way we did everything analog with those guys. No auto-tune, no. None of that stuff, man. Like, it's just everything happened here on the analog gear. Never High.
There we go. Never High, old boy.
Yeah, that's one of the good ones. Check the sound, dude. That's pretty cool, man.
Thank you.
got no one to call, yet you're looking for your cell phone, looking for your cell phone. Oh boy, you got no drugs to shoot, yet you better load the shotgun, better load the shotgun. Oh boy, you got no love to give, yet everybody's got some, everybody's got some.
The song, I remember, this is a funny story, like we were all like all excited about to pretty much finish printing the song and everything, and I'm like, hey guys, I have this idea about the song, why don't we, instead of, like, you know, usually people bring special effects or whatever, why don't we put some really cool microphones and I bring a shotgun. So they're like, yeah, whatever, true. So they didn't believe me,
right?
I took off, showed up with this big ass, huge toll gauge. Thrust, thrust. So that's a real shotgun, dude. We don't do, I don't steal audio from any other places. We do everything raw, like from scratch, pretty much. It's like
going right,
into a real bakery, you know?
Right.
That's why I always tell, like, all my on Facebook, like, hey, baking a studio. And man, like, what a ride, man. And like, the beautiful thing about it, about making music, and this is something, the older you get, the more gray hair you have, the cooler you look sitting on the main chair making music. I'm gonna stay cool forever. Hey, I pray, right?
Right.
So that's one of the beauties and why I like music a lot, man. And
brother, I think you and I, we share the same passion, and thank you once again for being here. Thank you for sharing a moment with me, listening to Venal, listening to a lot of your stories regarding Alubel Studios Productions. It's been a beautiful podcast, man. I appreciate it.
Too bad we couldn't find Los de la S, dude. Los de la S. I'll send you the link later, man.
We'll definitely do it, for sure, man.
I want to say hi to my beautiful family, my wife, Susie. Love you, girl. Thank you for pretty much taking care of this crazy man and my little crazy mini me, my little crazy Joaquin. And it's a funny story that I want to share with everyone. You know, usually when left-handed people live in a house where everybody's right-handed, they say they have like this feeling of like feeling odd all the time.
Right.
Well, I live in a house with two lefties. So I am the odd one. So, dude, let me, since I wake up in the morning, everything is a structure. Everything has to be in the right place. And me, like, dude, I don't care. You know, like, I'm just going to, like, make my breakfast, whatever. And then my little boy told me, like, hey, Dad, you need to pretty much follow these steps to do everything. So it's crazy, man. It's crazy, man. I'm the odd one. I'm the odd one in this house.
Yeah, it's okay being a little bit odd.
Yes, exactly.
Just not too much, but it's okay to be a little bit. Yeah, brother, it's been a blessing. Thank you so much once again. Thank you for being here at the Joe's Bot Podcast, episode 10. We'll see you at the next one, man. Have a great one. Hey,
I need to call you DJ JCL.
Those were some good days. Yeah.
Yes, that was great, man.
All right, man. God bless you, man. Have a great one.
I'll see you soon in the studio. Bring a podcast here, man. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Love your work, and thank you, everyone, for watching. Chewy from Alubel Studio. Bye-bye.
All right. And
thank you, Canalito.
I'm going to go ahead and end it right here real quick. Stop recording.